She had been an Olympic skater, and all the girls loved to watch her skate in the wintertime. But in the summertime, where our school was, we could walk outside, and there was a woods. We had a creek that ran along and through it. And in the woods, for our Bible classes, the teacher would let us go out and have our Bible classes in the woods. So we would go out. I walk around a little bit, so I might move this. And if you can't hear me, say speak up, because I tend to speak soft. So we would go out into the woods, and we made a podium out of sticks. We made a top out of a shell fungus. And all the kids from school would go out, and we had benches from logs. And we would do our school Bible class in the woods that way. So that was my first series of sermons, but it was some time ago. I'm 63 now, so that's quite a while ago. But nevertheless, it's always good to talk about the Lord. It's always good to study the Word of God. And I'm so glad to hear that someone is doing that here. And I would like to encourage that group to continue, and not only continue, but to teach some others how to do what you're doing, and to encourage that to grow. And I'll tell you why. Bible studies in your home is the best way to bring your neighbors in. There's no way better. Evangelistic meetings work good for some people, but the study in your home works better. We had a study in our home when we lived in Michigan, and we did that for about 2 years, and then finally she couldn't stand it anymore, and my wife married me. No. We had several people get married out of the group. Michelle was one of them. And another friend of mine named Mark. And it seems like there was one more. So we had three baptisms from a Bible study. And you can do the same thing. And that the whole purpose for the everything I have on my slides today is to encourage you to study and pray and study and pray and study and pray and pray and study. It's the best thing there is. If you watch the news now, read the newspapers, look at the internet, you can see that our world is taking a change, and it's not the way it was when I grew up and we could have Bible studies in the woods. Now there's some places where you're not sure if you want your kids to be in the woods without you or not anymore or not. Not that God doesn't watch over you, because he does. But it's different, and we all know it. The world knows it. They see it. They talk about it in the news. They don't know what they know exactly, but they know something's different. But they don't have always someone that's in their neighborhood, next door or across the street, that can pray and study with them. Sister White suggests that everyone in our neighborhoods should have been offered at least once by you to have prayer with them, or the opportunity to do so, as well as study. Can you imagine how many people would be impacted if they knew that down the block there was someone that would be willing to pray for them day or night, 24/7? Do they know they can call you up and you can pray for them? We have a church where we can come to and thank God, praise God, that we can come here and offer up our thanks to God as well as in our homes, and offer our praises, and offer our wishes and our prayers to God for healing and health. But everyone doesn't have that. So, pray and study. And somehow, get around your neighborhood. Spread around your family. The circles are supposed to start with our family, and then our neighborhood. And if we're faithful to those circles, we'll have larger circles and more impact. So we can go forward one more slide. So pray without ceasing. Is this possible? Can you pray all day? I'm finding out the older I get that if I stop praying, I get in trouble. And I want to say that so the younger folks know that. And I also want to say that because for the people that are having the Bible studies and the prayer groups, to please include the youth, the children in 6th and 7th grade and 5th grade, include them in your groups. Let them see how the prayers can be answered. If they can hear the prayer and then find out the results of that prayer, it's a wonderful thing to learn. It's an education that's hard to provide otherwise. What are the risks of not being in an attitude of prayer? One of the things I didn't tell you too is I like to talk, but I like people to talk back to me when I'm talking. And that might be a little bit of a different kind of a style from others. Nevertheless, I want you to talk back, especially in this sermon about prayer and study. Because I like to hear how you think about prayer and study. As we look around the room today, every one of us needs to pray for the other. We need to pray for each other. Is there anyone here that doesn't need prayer? No? I know I do. And I know there's so many here that do. And what a powerful thing that would be if we all actually started praying for each other and remembering their faces, the things that are needed. And guess who you get to meet when you do that? When you're spending time in prayer, praying for someone else, you're spending time just like Jesus spent in Gethsemane, where he was praying for others. It's so important. I started to include a part in this about Jesus when he was 12, because by the time he was 12, he had already learned more than I'll probably know about the Bible. So much that he amazed the doctors, the scribes and Pharisees. And I thought, well, these people know that, don't they? But that's part of the prayer and study. We want the young, the youth, the young men and women to know their Bibles. We want them to know how to pray. So the risk of not being in an attitude of prayer is a risk of losing children to the world because they haven't learned to have an attitude of prayer. If you're wondering why someone's spending more time with movies or games or something other than what you would like them to be learning, and if you think about the clock that we're in, the investigative judgment began in 1844. What year is it now? Your children have time to wait to learn to pray and study. Let me know. How could you get them involved? Do they really know Jesus is about to come? That the door of probation is about to close? And there will be people that will be safe, just like the 8 that were on the ark with a few animals. And there were those that would be left outside. That's the risk of not being in an attitude of prayer, praying without ceasing. And something our children need to learn. Verse 18 is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Did you know that the will of God was to give thanks in everything? Because he likes to give you thanks. And so what else can you do but to say thank you? And that's his will. Quench not the spirit. Is prayer even possible without the Holy Spirit? We can speak. We can say words. You could go online now and there's all kinds of prayers that sound really wonderful. Sometimes they start email chains of prayers. If you send this prayer to 10 more people, you'll get something. Please don't fall for those things. But that isn't prayer. There's no Holy Spirit involved in that. Maybe another spirit. But you need the Holy Spirit in prayer. You need the Holy Spirit before you study. The bottom line is what I'm working towards is that prayer and study is the same thing. I know prayer and singing is also the same thing. As was so adeptly shown earlier, what a wonderful voice. It's just tremendous. Thank you. Despise not prophesying. This is one that's hurt me, I think, more than any. And how can that be? Well, my parents were not Adventist originally. They became Adventist and then got married, of course, and then had children, and I was one of them. And in the faith, as they came together and learned over the years, everyone knew what the spirit of prophecy meant. No one was ashamed of it, at least not out loud. But we seem to have drifted away from something because it was written a long time ago. I just wanted to remind you that this was written a long time ago also. But it's held fast and it's proven true. And much in the spirit of prophecy has done the same. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell you today that what's in the spirit of prophecy is worth more than you could find in all the gold and silver and jewels in this earth. And once you start reading the books that were written by Sister White, and she had help, there was a team then. Our founding fathers were a team. They prayed together. They studied together. Sometimes through the night or deep into the night. And they didn't stop because they didn't find the answer today. They didn't stop until they found the answer with prayer and study. Our church talks about a concept called the remnant. And we've seen a lot of examples of it. And basically a remnant is the first piece of fabric that goes onto a bolt. And then it rolls up and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Our founding fathers were that first piece of fabric that went onto the bolt. They're the remnant. And as it all runs off, you get back down to that remnant idea of prayer and study. I thought about asking you how many have read any of the books from Spirit of Prophecy. Is it okay to do that? Do you remember the last one you read? There's so many that it's hard to get through them all. With God's grace, I had some time off work for the past year and a half. I took a sabbatical to get some other things done. And in that time, I read through the Conflict series. That's the Great Controversy, which is the last book. So it starts with Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, Acts of the Apostles, The Desire of Ages, and The Triumph of God's Love. I mean, it's just wonderful. And I thought, well, I can't stop there. This is just gold. And I went on and I read the original series that those books came from, which is called The Spirit of Prophecy. It's four volumes. And I'm just finishing that one up now. And there's another series called The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's books called Counsels to Ministers, Counsels to Parents, The Adventist Home. How many here live in an Adventist home? You think you might get some advice there, or is it too old? There's some wonderful books full of gold. And you have to go back and read your Bibles. And you find out that it's even more than you first imagined as you come along with it. That's the spirit of prophecy and quenching not the spirit. Who knows what the Bible says? If you listen to a prophet, what do you get? A prophet's reward. Is that right? We're close to the time when the work that Jesus is doing in as our intercessor and high priest is going to end. And probation is going to close. And we're counseled in the Word of God and in the Spirit of Prophecy that we should know, and our children should know, how to relate the three angels' message to someone in a coherent way. That means we need to be able to tell them that faith and works are two sides of the same coin. You can have one and you can have the other, but they must go together. And then there's righteousness by faith. It starts in Genesis and doesn't end in Revelation. At least it's still going on today. So then, we want to despise not prophesying. This relates to studying the Bible as well as the spirit of prophecy. We want to prove all things. Like I said, we and our kids should be coherently able to relate the three angels' message given in Revelation to someone so they understand it and want to give their heart to Jesus and be saved. That's why we're here. That's why we are Adventist. That's what Adventism, Seventh-day Adventism, that's what it means. No one else teaches that message. They think that they have 1,000 years to give it another shot. And if they don't think that, they think it doesn't matter. And if they don't think that, they think a saint can help them. There's no one else standing to repair the breach except for Seventh-day Adventist. That's why we need to pray and we need to study and we need to study and pray. How does the Bible put it? Can you finish it for me? Line upon line?
Here a little,
line upon line, precept upon precept. God knows you can't learn it all at once. But there are some things He expects us to know. Like the Ten Commandments. And how they relate to His seal and the Sabbath. And how they relate to faith. And how no matter what you would like the Ten Commandments to do, even if you turned them into a bar of soap, they won't cleanse you. But they'll show you where you need to scrub. That's for sure. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a whole sermon in itself. There's movies, there's games, there's internet sites that seem to be sucking the life out of our kids. But I'm not sure why we're letting them. I haven't figured that one out yet. And I understand we had a son, and we thought at first, oh, computer games, it will help them to be smart. It'll teach them math. Have you looked at any of the computer games? It's murder. It's sorcery. It's blood and death. There is nothing in one computer game that I know of that does anything to praise or elevate Jesus Christ. I would even extend that to the theater. And then I would extend it to most television shows. I used to have favorites. But then I watched and thought about who they were really glorifying. So did I have time to watch my favorite shows? Or should I spend some time in prayer and study? So I can share my faith and with someone so that they could share their faith with someone, so they could share their faith with someone, so they could share their faith with someone. We are Seventh-day Adventist, and our job is to tell the world what's coming. No, we don't have a day or an hour, but we know it's coming, and we know we're closer than we were in 1844. When I think about it, it makes me shake. Because we're held accountable for the ones we didn't tell. We're Seventh-day Adventists. We're responsible. What a serious gift. Do it. What a wonderful reward. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. A promise. Sanctification. That's another thing we have to explain that most don't understand. Most think and believe that they can say, I believe in Jesus, and I accept him today, and they might even get baptized. And that's it. And they go to church week after week, year after year. But there's no growth. At least not the kind that we're talking about in the process of sanctification. So what do we have? Three angels' message, which is righteousness by faith in verity. Works and faith going together. Jesus is coming again. The judgment began in 1844. And it will soon end. What have I missed so far? And I haven't even finished reading Thessalonians 5. It's throughout the Bible. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an example of how we should pray for others. We want to pray for their spirit and their soul and their body, and that they be preserved blameless once they have accepted the faith and the truth, so that they can share that with others. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also, what does it say there? Will do it. What did Jesus say about his word? Heaven and earth will pass away, but will anything that he said not happen? Will it pass away? No. So he will do it. And when he says he'll do it, everything he said so far has happened. I was going to ask at this point if you could think of some other texts that remind you of the faithfulness of Jesus. In your life or in someone else's life. But I think what I will do is just remind you to remember that when you're praying for each other. So now I ask you again, how many here today need prayer? How many are ready to pray for each other? And we started, and you should have found it in your bulletin, there's a little questionnaire about how many Christians, Protestant Christians no less, you can forward to the slide with that on it. That's stop there. We can stop there for a minute. This is just a little acronym I thought I would throw in here. It's called Acts of Prayer, to help you remember what prayer is about. It's adoration and praise. That's the A. And one I seem to do a lot, confession. And thanksgiving also. And supplication, that's for anything for others. Anything for our church family. Did we get to the point where we don't need to pray for finances to help with the church? Or workers to help with taking care of the building? Not yet. Maybe one day. Brethren, pray for us. We all need to be remembered in prayer by others. Others need our prayers. They may ask for this. They may be unaware of it. It could be a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, parents, church, community. Yes, and national leaders need our prayer too. They're in the same world we are. They don't have the answers either. We know how it's going to end, and we know God's in control. Thank God for that. But I passed out in your bulletins a little checklist about studying and what they found. And I believe this one was from 2012. They asked, it's called Reading Your Bible. It's a slide that looks like this. And it should be number... I didn't number them. Sorry. But you should see it along the side. There it is. How much of the Bible have you personally read? This is among Americans that attended church. None of it. 10%. They don't have a clue what it is. 13%, only a few sentences. So you wonder how they read a few sentences. 30%, several passages or stories. And I have to wonder about that, because if they watch the movie Moses, that's not the Bible. If they watched The Passion of the Christ, that's not the Bible. Isn't that amazing? That's about Mary. Fifteen percent said they've read at least half of it. 12% said almost all of it, but they... 11% said they've read all of it. 9% said they read all of it more than once. Now, I told you how old I was a little while ago, and I grew up listening to a radio program. It was before television was available, if you can imagine that. Before computers and television. Before push-button phones. HMS Richards and the Voice of Prophecy. That gentleman used to read through his Bible every year. He could quote the scriptures from memory. He would stand and give sermons, and someone noticed he was quoting because his Bible was upside down. Because he already knew it. All of it more than once. I'm sure he would fall into that category. They didn't have a category for total recall. I think he was gifted with memory. Then there was another Gallup poll that was released that said Americans now believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is a book of fables. It's not really true and it shouldn't be taken literally. And you can see the agendas in school and in the media to raise up pressure that discounts the creation stories. What will they do when the Creator comes? You know. That was the next slide. So, in that same poll, they found that if individuals started reading their Bibles more, can you go forward a couple more? Right there. Go back. Yeah. If they started reading their Bibles more, they called it Bible engagement. If they started reading it more, then guess what they did? They confessed that they had done something wrong. Oh, no. Yes. And they started asking for forgiveness. Can you believe it? The Bible does that? Bible study does that? Helps you to confess and ask forgiveness? You don't want your kids to learn from this? Or do you want your kids to learn from this? Believing in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven, and the number of years one has believed this went up as Bible reading went up. So we should check. Does everyone here understand that there's only one way to heaven? Understand that the people outside the doors may not know that. So we've got to figure out ways to tell them. If we could get them to read this somehow, they would figure it out, according to this poll. If they read their Bible more, they make a decision to obey or follow God with an awareness that choosing to do so might be costly. Knowing they're going to lose friends if they're baptized into this church. For example, for now, it might be something else later. Praying for the spiritual status of people they know are not professing Christians. So when we come here on Sabbath and we thank God for what He's done for us and we ask Him for His help, and that's what Sabbath is about. That's what Jesus did on the Sabbath. He healed those that had been possessed by demons, had physical ailments, had mental ailments. But there are people in the world that need our prayers too. And if you read the Bible, according to this, they start praying for them. They start thinking about others. They might read another book about increasing their spiritual growth. That's would be fine with me as long as it's one of the Spirit of Prophecy books. We have a lot of good authors coming from our church. Having been discipled or mentored one-on-one by a more spiritually mature Christian. Wouldn't that be neat if we did that more? You know, the early founders of our church used to go out two by twos, and that was often a mentorship situation. Best way to learn was someone that knows how to represent Christ and the pillars of our faith and bring someone and train them. Looks like the time is running out on me. But I wanted to just cover the last things. If you can go forward one slide that says hope and wisdom at the top. Go back. Whoop, you're not forward. One more. There it is. Reasons for the Bible, for reading the Bible, in addition to what I just said, for all those positive things that it can happen to anyone that reads it. The Bible gives us hope. It will make you wise. And it will do what nothing else can, except for us, when we share our faith with others. It will reveal Christ to the person that's reading it. They can't miss it. So how do we study scriptures? First, we ask for God's help. We compare scripture with scripture. If we hear it on the internet or in a book, do we believe it? Maybe. If it matches up to this. We use all the Bible. I know it's divided between the Old and the New Testament. But who knows, when we're in heaven, maybe there'll be more books. Then I wanted to share with you, there's one that's called emergency numbers. Did you know that the Bible had emergency numbers in it? This is just a few. Just go forward a little bit. There they are. When in sorrow, John 14. When you have sinned, Psalms 51. When you worry, call Matthew 6, 19 to 34. When you're in danger, call Psalms 91. When your faith needs stirring, call Hebrews 11. When you feel down and out, call Romans 8, 31. When you want peace and rest, call Matthew 11, 25 to 30. When the world seems bigger than God, call Psalms 90. If your pockets are empty, call Psalms 37. When you're lonely and fearful, call Psalms 23. When you grow bitter and critical, call 1 Corinthians 13. When you need to know how to get along with someone else, call Romans 12. If you're depressed, call Psalms 27. And if people seem unkind, and they will, and it will get worse, call John 15. There's more. That's just a few. But what someone said, I want, if you go forward a little bit more, to it may be the last slide. It's not knowing the Bible. It's knowing the author. In Matthew, Jesus said, I want to make sure I'm quoting the right verse. Matthew 25, 24 and 25. In other places in the Synoptic Gospels where he says to a certain group that think they know him, but they didn't take this as a composite. And they did some things in his name, but they didn't take this in a as a composite. Did some kind of interesting things like casting out demons, but they didn't keep his Sabbath. They didn't know him. They didn't know the whole Bible. And he has to say, depart from me. I don't know you. You're workers of sin. And I'm paraphrasing. But he has, of course, a much better promise for those that keep his Sabbaths and have the testimony of Jesus and the faith of Jesus, and subsequently his seal. So we want to study and we want to pray daily. Daniel did it 3 times a day. I don't see how we could do it any less, as we're sure further down the line than Daniel was for what's in store before Jesus returns. And we want to be able to have all of our service provider bars to Christ on full green all the time. Not one bar, not two. It's the praying without ceasing part. We have to be in touch with Christ and able to stand.